When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, what's going on, Hot Ones fans? This is Sean Evans, and welcome back to another edition of our classic interview series, where we open up the vaults of Hot Ones history and bring you some of our best hot sauce-fueled interviews in their full, uncut glory. Today, we celebrate Gabrielle Union. Now, sometimes when guests walk in, they're just plain cool, and Gabby was just cool. She wore white, which is kind of a flex on Hot Ones. She did an amazing DMX impression, told us a wonderful banana boat story, and when she left the room, the whole crew gathered around talking about Gabrielle Union like she was one of our best friends. And you know what? I think that you'll feel like she's one of your best friends after you listen to this interview. Enjoy, Spice Lords. Hey, what's going on, everybody? For First We Feast, I'm Sean Evans. It's the show with hot questions and even hotter wings. And today we're having lunch with Gabrielle Union. You know her from timeless films like Bring It On and Bad Boys 2. You can catch her on the landmark series Being Mary Jane, now in its final season. And she has a new book out, the much buzzed about We're Going to Need More Wine, available now. Gabrielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How are you with hot food?
I'm pretty good. I feel pretty solid with most hot things. But now I'm getting nervous.
You know, a lot of guests are. What is your headspace like right now?
I'm very concerned my ass is going to explode on camera. And that concerns me. I'm not sure if book readers, how they feel about on-air explosive diarrhea. So I'm a touch concerned.
Well, if you want to look at the wine glasses half full, that happened to Bobby Lee, and it was like a top five trending video, millions and millions of views situation. So if that happens, we're moving some units. We're shooting right to the top of the bestsellers list. So fingers crossed.
Thanks, Bobby. Jeez.
Are you ready to
get my mouth is like already watering just in anticipation of the humiliation. Here we go.
All right, you ready to get going?
Yeah. I'm also hungry and mildly hungover from last night. So this
perfect.
Is actually amazing so far. Okay. Sorry, I'm hungry too.
Let it go.
Okay.
So I want to start by taking it back to Pleasanton, California, because it's important that people know Dwayne Wade is not the only basketball star in the family.
He is not.
Does it ever get competitive when you guys hoop? Does the Foothill Falcon in you ever come out?
She comes out often. Usually at the gym when I'm on the treadmill, basically having the Olympics with unsuspecting other people training. If you're not getting off that fucking treadmill, neither am I, because we're competing. You're just not aware of it. So with my husband, inside, I feel like, you know, they say any given team on any given day can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's always how I feel. Like, today's the day he's going down.
And with the wings sometimes even, maybe. Is it true that you led the league in technical fouls?
I did.
I was the
Rasheed Wallace it's my mouth. I want the hurt that you feel from something I say to stay with you. You know, like back in the day, like Jenny Jones would have people come back and was like, they were my bully. I sort of expected former opponents to bring me on the show. And when you said to my mom, because I also address parents, you must be really proud, really proud. I didn't really even think that was deserving.
I love the grudge.
It got weird.
I love the grudge.
Yeah.
And then speaking of love and basketball, some of our viewers might be surprised to learn that you dated Jason Kidd in high school.
Yes, now coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
And I was very surprised to learn that he broke up with you via a thumbs down 3 weeks before junior prom.
With my father standing there.
Is that the most savage breakup of all time, or is that just the coward's way out before text messaging and Snapchat?
It was the only time in my life that I've ever been broken up with, actually. And it was, it stuck with me. That's where the karma was like, oh, bitch, there you are. Because all the shit that you've been doing to these poor people, here I am.
Lit that fire.
Yeah.
And now everyone can pay. All right, you ready to move on, Gabrielle?
Yes.
So this next one is Crystal.
Crystal, okay. That's old school.
You know Crystal.
Yeah.
So your resume as an actress is so vast, from, you know, big box office smashes to these cult classics. Mm-hmm. But the real ones know that it all started with Saved by the Bell, the new class.
What did you learn about walking with giants like Mr. Belding and Screech?
I learned a lot, actually. They were the first, like, big stars I'd worked with, and so I just watched him. I would literally just sit in the stands and watch them when I wasn't on set, like when I wasn't physically working myself. And I watched how they talked to other people and how they interacted with the cast. I watched how they like got their timing together for like their physical comedy. They're masters. I mean, a lot of people don't give Screech the comedic genius appreciation that that he deserves.
And then too, when we had Padma Lakshmi on the show, she talked about how she did one episode of, what did she do? She did one episode of Star Trek Enterprise and has been getting fan mail for it 15 years later.
Yes.
Is the iron still hot from playing a Klingon in Deep Space Nine?
Yes, and specifically because I was a Klingon in a very special episode that introduced Worf's son. It was called Sons and Daughters, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. That's the most fan mail I get. That and After Complex ran my swimsuit issue. My prison correspondence really saw an uptick. So I feel, you know, between the Trekkies and the prisoners, I'm pretty covered.
Getting that brand going.
Yeah.
All right, Gabrielle, you ready to move on?
Okay. Here we go. Now, I'm not familiar with Sweet Aardvark.
Secret Aardvark.
Secret. Oh, see? It's already started. I can't see. It's affecting my reading comprehension.
So this one's out of Portland.
Okay. It is missing, like, some other flavors, though.
The flavor profile's not hitting you the way you want it
no,
to.
No.
Well, that's such a lovely segue. I love when that happens in Hot Ones, because Dwayne Wade's now reunited with LeBron in Cleveland. The bromance is stronger than ever.
Stronger than ever.
So with that in mind, I want to ask you about something that Dwayne said to Food and Wine last year, and I quote, "This might get me in trouble. I would have LeBron order for me before I would let my wife. She'd get me 9 different things to be sure there's something I like. LeBron just knows." Is LeBron the menu whisperer that he's made out to be?
He is. Literally, my husband did not eat anything green or any seafood, like, at all for the bulk of our marriage. And then Bron comes. They become the Heatles. And suddenly, he's like, "I love sea bass. I've always loved sea bass." No, you didn't. You didn't love sea bass. Like, where did you even hear of sea bass? And he was like, "Bron, he made me eat sea bass, and I love it now." And I'm like, "Well, what else has Bron introduced?" And he's like, "Salad." So thanks, Bron. The future farmers of America, thank you. My husband is now eating things that are green and all sorts of fish. Like, who knew?
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
And then I know that the wine is just important as the food with you guys. Yeah. Dwayne, he has his own line. You see LeBron on Instagram all the time. And as we know, wine very important to the Gabrielle Union brand.
Yes.
Who's the real connoisseur of the group? Who knows the most, do you think?
Of our collective friends?
Yeah, of that. Of that.
Well,
of the vacation posse. Carmelo,
yeah. Yeah, it's like not even close.
Wow.
Like, he's like a wine savant, which is... You didn't see it coming, did you?
I did not.
No, yeah, Mel is, he's like super well-versed in all things wine. Like, you know, when you go on those wine tours, I just get drunk. I maybe incorporate a couple things that they say, but Mel is like actually like listens and studies and then goes home and does like more research. He's like a wine guy. He's that dude.
The NBA sommelier.
He is. Yes. Yes.
Should put that, yeah, there you
he's
go.
He's the banana boat sommelier.
Oh, speaking
sure.
of segues.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay.
Queen Majesty.
Yes. Okay. So this next one's the Queen Majesty. It's a scotch bonnet and ginger sauce.
Okay. Now this has a flavor that the other one was lacking. This is clearly not from Portland.
It's from Brooklyn.
There you go. BK representing. Okay. It was good.
You're into that one.
Yeah. Scotch bonnet and ginger hot sauce. This is really good.
You can have the bottle. You can have the bottle. So I have it on good authority that you host some of the best parties in show business. And if the IG posts are any indication, the guest list, it's always A+. Who on the list would you describe as like the must attend? Who is the life of the party?
Ooh. God, I mean, it kind of changes. It sort of... Bron is always a very good time because he dances. Actually, he's in the room somewhere. Larry Sims. He's a former Missy Elliott dancer turned hairstylist to the stars. But he will break out the old choreography.
He'll turn the place out.
Yeah, and he was also in Stomp the Yard, which, for whatever reason, my husband is obsessed that Larry was in Stomp the Yard. And he freeze frames it. And every time, because Stomp the Yard is actually on a lot. Yeah. Baby, Larry's God! And then I'm like, babe, I've seen it. I get it. Larry's step. Okay. But, yeah, Larry's a real good time. Yeah, Larry and Braun, those are our two gotta have at the party.
And then sometimes these parties can blow up into big pop cultural events, whether, you know, it's Diddy's White Party or Oprah's Legends Ball. Who's the celebrity kind of off the beaten path that low-key throws the best parties?
Huh. You know, Niecy Nash actually has, like, really fun... I mean, because they're random to me, because I'm just sort of just getting into the Niecy world and on the guest list. She has really good parties. And Shanice, the singer, the R&B singer, and her husband Flex have really good dress-up parties.
Gotta have a theme.
Got everything. If you have a theme, it's a good time. Oh, and Jessica Alba and Cash. They are very good party throwers.
All right, are you ready to move on?
Yes.
All right, so this next one is the Hot One sauce. You're on the Hot One show.
Okay. Another good flavorful one.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It was really flavorful. I hate hot sauce that just is hot.
Right. You got to have, like, we have a little citrus blend in there, kind of Trojan horses that in.
It's really good.
All right, Gabrielle, so we have a recurring segment on our show called Explain That Gram. We do a deep dive on our guest's Instagram, interesting pictures that need more context. So I'll show you the picture, and then you just tell me the bigger story. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right, laptop, please. I got five for you.
Okay. I'm all in your password.
Oh, no, you're not. I've got caps in there. Mm-hmm. I've got characters. I've got numbers.
Uh-huh.
I'm not worried about it. All right.
When I start deleting emails, you'll know what happened. Oh, okay.
Up first, who's the better interview bomber, Gabrielle Union or Chris Bosch?
Me. Chris, I mean, because I not only give you funny faces, but I'm you know, going to mildly, you know, give a booty rub. Yeah, and I just completely take over. You see, he's mortified. He's just had an amazing game at the Garden that was here. That was against the Knicks. And I couldn't help myself. And we talked about his missed free throws.
You
even
have
though
to.
He hit, like, a game winner, but I...
But that's what good coaches do, you know? They're always raising the bar a little bit.
I'm the Bobby Knight of this relationship, you know? Maybe a chair has been thrown, or six.
All right, Gabrielle, I'll...
Got a little stuff?
One thing for you. Just looking out for you. Will you let me know if I get a little... if I color outside the lines a little bit?
All right. Because I have a feeling there's going to be snot coming soon.
Look at you. But, no,
but
look
I'll feel
you.
It when it
look
hits my lip.
So graceful, so composed.
Aw, that's 10 things. We were, it was a lot of our first movie. We were up in, that's in Tacoma at University High School. And we were having the time of our lives. We thought all movies were going to be like that, where everyone hangs out together, everyone gets paid the same, all of our trailers were the same. And we hit Tacoma and Seattle pretty hard. I got the two girls fake IDs. Their parents signed them over to me, which is a huge mistake. You're not slowing my roll. So got them, first order of business, got them fake IDs, and proceeded to have a very good time.
That's what happens when you enroll in the Gabrielle Union Finishing School, right?
Yes.
And then is it true that Heath Ledger, he used to, when he was partying, he'd have the didgeridoo?
The didgeridoo, yes. He always had the didgeridoo. And he had a couple buddies who came up from, I think it's from Perth, and they would all play it. Like, it was, like, I guess, like, you're forced to learn the didgeridoo as an Australian, because they all seem to know how to play it. I think it's, like, the equivalent of the recorder or the tonet.
Like, everybody in middle school gets
yes.
it?
Hot cross buns, but they did it with, like, the didgeridoo. Yeah, we got into a lot of shenanigans.
Looks like it. That's a crew.
Yeah.
All right, two more for you.
Oh, my older brother, Martin Lawrence, and D, and that was at the NWA movie.
Oh, the Straight Outta Compton?
Straight Outta Compton, yeah. That was a Straight Outta Compton premiere. Like, D is a massive Martin Lawrence fan, has seen every special, every episode, and I could tell, like, I'm like, don't act like you've been somewhere. I know he wanted to quote lines, like, Martin's never heard every episode quoted back to him. And I was like, don't, please don't do
it. You had to give him a little talk beforehand. Don't
embarrass
me.
No, because I could see it happening, like, when he saw him and the joy. And I was like, and he couldn't help it. Finally, he just combusted. And he did some Martin Lawrence bit. And Martin was like, later, Gab. You're ruining my relationships.
One more for you. Whose man's is this?
Gucci. That guy actually got married last night to Keisha. I was able to borrow him for a night out on the town in Los Angeles. No, I kept saying, like, you look like Gucci Mane, babe. And he took it as a compliment. And I love them as a couple. Can I just discuss, like, I was a little disturbed, even though I don't know them. I really didn't think a lack of, you know, personal introduction or like knowledge of each other should have stopped me from getting an invite
right.
to their wedding. I felt blacklisted, to be honest. Trina, Karrueche, Monica. I felt like I should have been there
right.
in my white outfit, perhaps even marrying them.
Really? Yeah.
Though I don't know them at all. I just love them from afar. But I love that this outfit reminds me of Gucci Mane.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thus concludes Explain That, Graham.
Yeah.
Are you ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. So this next one is Dirty Dicks. Very aggressive
branding. Oh, it's too easy. So easy.
Very aggressive.
We also cover that in my book. We're going to need more wine.
You're into it.
Yeah.
Are you doing better than you thought you would?
Yes.
About what you thought you would?
Yeah. Usually I can feel my stool loosening when it gets a little hairy. And so far, feel pretty tight.
That's good.
Feel pretty good. That does have a nice little tropical twist.
It does. That's back-to-back citrus blends.
Yeah.
Maybe that's your thing.
It could be my thing.
So speaking of Instagram, you have one of the more prolific approaches to Woman Crush Wednesday, where you do these, you know, sometimes essay-length homages to people like Zendaya, Chrissy Teigen, Lala. Why is it important for you to show that kind of love, and which women in the industry do you look up to?
Well, you look up to Oprah. You know, you look up to Diane Carroll and Jennifer Lewis. Everyone who's been like, girl, I don't want you to fail. Come here. I got you. Come here. You're about to fuck it up. Let me talk to you now. For a long time, I wasn't sure if Jennifer Lewis actually knew my name because she called me Barbie bitch. Barbie bitch, where's the Barbie bitch? Bring Barbie bitch, let me tell you where you're fucking up now. And I was just like, tell me where I'm fucking up. I am Barbie bitch. But you're just people who just don't want to watch you fail. And so part of like the whole WCW thing is just celebrating women, because oftentimes we're sort of painted as haters and who just cannot take another woman's shine. So I just want to shine as bright of a light on as many women as possible. I love women. I love the strength of women. I love the beauty of women. I love women in all shapes and sizes. And I just think we're like so fly. And so I just want to try to celebrate that.
There you go, Gabby. Are you ready to move on?
I thought I was going to have a little bit more of an answer. So I'm like, and then
you can just,
when
you can
I was
just...
10, let me tell you about Michelle Obama. Okay, so this is where it starts to get a little rough. Okay. Okay.
This is the zombie apocalypse.
My sinuses are clearing.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Is this the part in the scary movie? Like where
you know, some of them creep, but zombies pretty, you know, if you can get through the smoke, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Solid. Okay.
So when it comes to vacation goals, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a couple that does it better than the Wades, whether it's yacht life or wading through shallow water with pigs. You guys always do it big, and I have a feeling that you know where this is going. Can you give me the BTS on the banana boat situation? Whose idea was it? Who put their credit card down? Was it as much fun as it looked?
Okay, so I will take credit for the banana boat fiasco or glory, depending on how you look at it. The first year that we started going on the couple trip, LeBron and Savannah, they chose the boat, they chose, you know, the location, and that boat had all kinds of bells and whistles. There was like a 3-story slide into the ocean, they had jet skis, and then they had like other inflatable toys that could be pulled behind the smaller boat called the tender. So I saw that banana boat and I wanted to ride it. Sorry, Mom. But I was like, okay, who's coming with me? And none of the girls wanted to go. And La and Mel hadn't gotten there yet, because La and Mel are always like down. Like, they're always like, we're in. So I had to try to convince Bron and Dee and CP to get on the banana boat. And it took some convincing. And we were also certain that there was mystery paparazzi out there. Though we had not been photographed, everyone was convinced that we were being surveilled. And I was like, no, not everybody cares about us, you guys. No one's gonna see us. And if no one got us coming down the slide or dancing or whatever, we're safe. And like, get over yourselves.
Yeah.
So we mount the banana boat. I am in front, then my spouse, and then I think it's like CP3.
Yeah. LeBron bringing up the caboose.
Yeah. A lot of pictures have me replaced, and Mel is there, but alas, they had not arrived yet. And then what they did not capture, which was actually the best part, once we have all mounted the banana, that boat took off, and no one was really prepared. We were there for the initial jolt, and then he hung a hard left, and we flew off and landed side face first, like all of our were like, fuck, fuck! Like, that's all you heard in the water. It hurt. It was painful. But magically, they only got us a stride. They did not get the fall.
And then you talked about it being a fiasco, and it really was, because you'd have, like, pundits on TV, like, debating the banana boat in, like, a very serious and earnest way, which must have been bizarre.
There was a lot. There was a lot of hot takes and not-so-op-eds written about the banana boat. What did the banana signify? What did it represent? It was so much, and it was like, but all of the stuff that they assumed that could come from us even mounting the banana together as a collective.
Right.
Actually came to pass, and it was like way worse than anything we shouldn't have gotten over ourselves, and perhaps I should have ridden that banana solo, you know, or just with my man.
And then when that catches like a wildfire, does like Dwayne never talk to you afterwards? Like, I told you we should
have
gotten that stupid banana boat.
Because as soon as the picture came out, because we were still on vacation when the picture, you know, was released, I was that asshole that, really? No one's gonna see it, huh? Really? No, to this day, I mean, it's been, what, almost 3 years later, 4 years later?
You still can't escape the banana boat.
No, no. I mean, and now it's like, will the banana boat reunite? And I'm like, I'm not in the league, guys.
So all right, anyway. You ready to move on?
And this is called Da Bomb.
Da Bomb Beyond Insanity.
Okay, and there's an actual grenade on this, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They really drive that point home.
I forgot I asked for fucking almond milk. I was needing the coolness of regular whole D milk, but I also am lactose intolerant, so I wasn't going to try to add to the diarrhea.
Yeah, it's not an easy one, that one.
And almond milk is not as soothing. My gums are bleeding.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. There was a movie in the 70s starring Jimmy Walker. You may know him as Dynamite from Good Times, but before that, he was a serious thespian. And he played this teenage athlete who had a disease that caused his lips and his gums to bleed. I feel like Jimmy Walker right now.
Really appreciating that film in a way that you didn't before, perhaps.
Now the drooling is happening. Mm-hmm. Is that common?
It happens. So we couldn't have you on First We Feast without talking about food. And I know being 44 going on 23, it takes some discipline. But anyone who knows Gabrielle Union knows that you do like to throw down.
I do.
Out of all of the cities that you've landed in, which has the best food?
Ooh. Atlanta. They use real butter. They use lard. Shortening. And it makes everything taste better. And there's like heavy sauces. Nobody's vegan. No one's heard of gluten. It's just a magical place, the land before gluten, and I love it. I love the food there. It's really good.
Speaking of magical places, from someone who's on the inside, can you explain to me what's up with NBA players' fascination with the Cheesecake Factory?
Okay, it's meals you recognize. Oh, now it's starting to soothe. Meals you recognize and portions that are reasonable. And most NBA players aren't max dudes. And have a lot of, you know, expenditures. Like, family members are generally your biggest expense. It's not your mortgage, it's your family. So eating reasonably priced meals, and every NBA city pretty much has a Cheesecake Factory. So you don't want to be experimenting with some super expensive meal. And then you're not, like, satisfied. You still got to go hit Taco Bell afterwards.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Which players have you come across that are low-key great cooks? Is there anyone who can really do it in the kitchen?
Charles Oakley. First of all, there should be a statue of Oak in front of Madison Square Garden.
Preach.
He can cook. One night, years ago, I was hosting a pride party. It was a white party for some of the most gorgeous, empowered lesbians on the planet. They asked me to come host this white party in Atlanta during Pride weekend. And I had been day drinking with Michael Jordan and Charles Oakley. And I was like, you guys should come. Like, I bet you guys are gonna be like a huge hit. Everyone's gonna love you. And I've never seen Michael Jordan more categorically ignored ever in life. I brought like the friend with the good personality. Like I was like, sorry guys, back to me. But Oak, later that night, we ended up back at his place and he is like a master chef. And we had gone to the grocery store and got all this food and he introduced me to candied bacon, thick cut candied bacon that he baked.
Game changer.
I didn't know you could bake bacon. Why would you? I mean, I didn't know. And then he poured the syrup on the raw bacon and baked it. And when I tell you, I mean, yeah, okay, MJ. He's cool. He's the greatest player to ever play the game. He is nothing compared to candied bacon. I mean, I'm almost going to cry because that first time, it's like losing your candied bacon virginity. It was so sweet. It felt almost romantic. I now am in a fully committed relationship to candied bacon, and
sometimes the mind wanders, yes.
To regular bacon, and it's never it's never the same. Yeah.
All right, Gabrielle.
I'm sure Nicholas Sparks is going to do a movie about candied bacon yeah, in a small town and on the shores of North Carolina.
You ready to move on?
Yeah. Wait, what it says, with liquid rage. Sounds like my first marriage. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm feeling the rage.
Right, that's the liquid rage in it, I think, that you're catching.
Yeah. This is the same rage I felt in my first marriage when I didn't ask him to sign a prenup and I had to later write a big check. The liquid rage is fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now full juicy mouth. Like, I'm not going to be able to control this.
It's good. So you have some of the best return fire Twitter fingers in the game. There's been many an internet troll who's been humbled by way of the Gabrielle Union quote tweet. Mm-hmm. When you're scrolling your mentions, what are the sorts of red flags that pop up, the internet shenanigans that you find hardest to tolerate?
If you're gonna, like, come for me, A, have your facts straight, and B, fucking use spell check. Like, calling me a hoe, but there's an E at the end of hoe. Be your own grammar police. I don't respond well to run-on sentences. But yeah, one that just stuck out with me, like, because I'm reading about, you know, People Magazine was like, you know, it's her struggle with infertility. And then I see the comments, and this guy was like, I bet she's struggles with infertility because of all those dicks. What, bitch? What? If fucking all those dicks cause infertility, bitch, you wouldn't fucking be here. That's what I wanted to tweet, but I didn't feel like it was helpful for the topic of infertility for me to question how many dicks his mama perhaps had had. But I was like, is there like a dick threshold where you're like, I'm infertile now because that dick was the straw that broke the fucking camel's back or the straw that broke my pussy's back? I don't know. But yeah, I was like, all those dicks. I'm like, and then I had to go to his like
you end
Twitter.
Up in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I'm like, who the fuck are you? Live at home in Alabama? How do you know how many dicks I've had? like, are you Googling like how many bodies I have? Like, get the fuck out of here. That's usually like my trigger. See how it just happened again?
Yeah, yeah.
That's that liquid rage.
Mm-hmm. We're almost to the top of the mountain, Gabrielle Union. We have one more wing to go.
My ass hasn't exploded yet.
Against all odds.
Against all odds.
All right, so this is the last dab. We call it the last dab because it's tradition around here to put a little extra on the last wing. You don't have to if you don't want to, Gabrielle Union.
It's so thick.
It is a little thick.
That's what she
said.
Okay.
How are you doing now? You know, like when you go into those expectations, like, my dirty dicks, this is great. Like, put it in a to-go bag. Like that, you know, like you're having like a great time and then.
No, I'm going to leave this one. This and my first marriage are going to stay right here.
Okay.
They're both painful.
Mm-hmm.
They both are going to make my ass itch. Like,
all right, Gabrielle Union, as we've discussed today, you're a woman who wears many hats, actress, author, style icon, but I think that there are even more hidden talents than meet the eye while the hot sauce is coursing through you. Can you explain what you meant when you said that working with LL Cool J and DMX brought out your inner rapper? DMX.
Did I say that?
You did say that.
Maybe I had a better appreciation.
There you go.
And they're so dissimilar. Jesus, did you know that DMX loves the Golden Girls? And that's a real fun fact.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know this?
Because he watches it in his trailer. And he would, after a while, because of the dog situation. And so after a while, nobody wanted to go get him. And so I would be sent to go get him because I'm a dog person. And he'd be like, yeah, have a drink. I'm going to watch the Golden Girls. This shit is funny. And so I would, like, instead of just being able to go in, grab him, and then, like, leave. Oh, just drooling. We would have a Heineken and sometimes a little Crown. And we'd watch the Golden Girls. And he would laugh hysterically. And that's I also had to do all of his B-roll questions because they were afraid of him. And so I was like, I'm not asking DMX about the cinematography. Like, you know who doesn't care about the cinematography? Fucking DMX. So I would ask him questions about New Edition. Like, who was your favorite member? Can you guess?
Is it Bobby Brown?
Ding. Yeah. LL really does lick his lips a lot, like I'm doing right now, because this side is like numb. This feels like I've had some Novocaine right here, right through here. Does it look like I got like lip injections? Is that what's starting now? Because that's what it feels like.
Here's what I would say, Gabrielle Union. You look just as dignified, just as graceful, just as lovely after the last dab as you did before Valentina. That was a great DMX story. And look at what you did today, Gabrielle Union. You cleared the board. You got on top of the hot sauces.
I cleared my sinuses.
And now there's nothing left to do but roll out the red carpet for you, Gabrielle Union. Let the people know what you have going on in your life.
I've got my new book, We're Gonna Need More Wine. We just announced me,
Bron,
Dave Talbert, we partnered up. We have a TV show that we just sold to ABC called White Dave, which is Dave Talbert's story of like the reverse Fresh Prince. He went from a very affluent neighborhood in Silver Springs, Maryland to Capitol Heights, Maryland. And so we're really excited about that. I got a movie called Breaking In that I executive produced. That's coming out. I've got The Public, another movie about librarians as heroes. That's the real heroes that they are. I've got my hairline, Flawless. I've got my wine, Vanilla Pudding, which is sold exclusively at Total Wine & More. We've got my New York & Company clothing line. I got Mary Jane. And, you know, for everyone who's just really upset that BMJ is coming to a close, please send all your correspondence to 50 Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent, who has taken sole responsibility for the loss of jobs and your show. So don't at me, at 50.